You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
For today. Next week, by the way, we start a preaching series. You know, we often take 2 or 3 weeks to sort of deep dive into something, but today is just a one-off message and it's called First Things First. There's 2 verses that I want to read to you. Verse 8 is going to come on the screen, but I'm starting with verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. The scene, it has 2 principal characters in it, but then 1 million extras. All right, two principal characters and then just 1 million extras in the background. It says this: then Moses, character number 1, summoned Joshua, character number 2, and said to him in the presence of all Israel, there's your 1 million extras. He says to him, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. And then verse 8, and this is really where we're focusing this time that we have around the Word of God today. It says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. They sound like the same thing and they're intrinsically linked, but they're different things. The Lord goes before you. And so therefore, when you get to where you're going, he will already be with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. And then he repeats himself and says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. As I said, this message is called First Things First. And on this first Sunday in 2025, that's right, people, it's not science fiction. It's the actual year. It is 2025, and we thank God for it. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us, those in this room, those watching on a screen in their homes, and those gathering in Geneva or elsewhere to receive from you. I pray that you would speak to us. We posture ourselves. We choose to put ourselves in a position to receive because we recognize that our year in your hands is better than our year exclusively in our hands. And so we give this year to you by giving this time to you right now as a statement of intent, as a statement of faith for the future. We focus on the sound of your voice. I pray that we would hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can take your seats. I don't know if you've realized this, and perhaps you've heard me say this before. I said it on New Year's Eve for those of you that fought your way into the building that night. And I have said it a few times, actually, when I've been taking the offering, the time in the service where people bring their tithe. Toba and Darren were helping us. In that moment when I've taken the offering, more than once, I've said this phrase, and it's really the theme of today's message. And if you're going to write anything down, then write this down and perhaps write it 50 times, like you're doing lines at school. Do they still do that? Let me ask someone. Asher, you would know. I'm joking. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know. It's a joke. Elliot knows they do lines. Okay, good. Brilliant. What am I saying? Oh, yeah. Here's the phrase that I want you to remember. That is, that which you put first goes before you. What you put first goes before you. Joshua and Moses are having a moment, and Moses is acknowledging something about the character of Joshua that not only is true, is going to help him going forward, is actually reflecting on Joshua's habits from the past. There's a whole generation of people that died in the desert and didn't get to where Joshua is going to lead the people to. But one thing about Joshua that Moses is acknowledging is that he has always known what it is to put God first. And so he's saying, he's acknowledging something just like us. If this is a timeline of 2025, And this is January, and we go through the months, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. And this is New Year's Eve 2025, where we'll be squished in here again, trying to celebrate the new year whilst worrying about our car. Then we, like Joshua, are stood on the edge of something new. We're about to step into something, and it's kind of perhaps even a bit twee now that we talk about a new season or a new phase of life or whatever, but actually this is a critical moment. This is the first Sunday of a brand new year, and I would like to suggest to you that that which we do today actually affects how tomorrow is. And so we're standing at the beginning of 2025, just like Joshua, and Moses says to him, God himself will go before you, brackets, because you've got a habit of putting him first in your life. And because you put him first, not only will he go before you, when you get to whatever you get to, he will be with you. I don't know if you've ever considered when something goes before you. Funny story about Pastor Frankie, our Geneva campus pastor, along with her husband, Tim. If you don't know this, or perhaps you don't know her, but Frankie is an accomplished musician. Frankie plays the violin like a, I don't even know what the right, I was gonna say like an angel. Like, yeah, I'm assuming they're good at violin. Okay, she plays the violin like an angel. And she's brilliant at violin. And before, you know, years ago, one of the many jobs that she's had, she taught violin in primary schools. And she was going to a primary school in Bolton, which is where we live. At that time, my eldest son, who's now 21, he's watching online. Hi, bud. He was in that school. And so she took a class, and there was a big group of people from his class learning the violin. And so they all went into the hall with their violins, and she did a lesson with them. And she looked at her timetable, and the next lesson was just with one person. And she said, oh, that's strange. I've only got one person. And they went, oh, that boy, he's a little challenging. He's the kind of child that needs perhaps more like one-to-one connection. She's thinking, oh my gosh, who is this monster? So the children left, she's praying, she's speaking in tongues, she's asking the Holy Spirit for some help. Then the doors flung open, and my son skipped into the hall with his violin, and she was like, Riley, yes. And she's thanking God because he's not a monster. He's an absolute legend, the best thing I've ever done, along with my other children in my life. And so he wanders in. But what had happened was his reputation went before him. You know what I'm saying? It's like I used to work in schools myself, and I would work with some boys who had challenging habits, shall we say, and one of the most difficult things for them to deal with is if they had an older sibling who had been in the same school, because the teachers would see their surname in the register, and without even meeting them, they would already make a decision about what that was going to be like. And I used to say to the teachers, hey, don't judge, you know, I'm making these names up, Steve, on his brother, Bob, you know, let's give him a chance. So sometimes something goes before you. You can hear a person, Pastor Hannah, before you see her normally, because she has a rather loud voice, full of authority and anointing. Sometimes you can smell a person. Don't be nudging the person next to you because they've not had a shower. I'm talking about in a good way. When I smell Zoe's perfume, my heart leaps and I begin to sing. Shall we sing it? Why do birds? The smell goes first and then you see the person. This is the principle that I'm talking about. Will, give me a hand, bro. This is Will, everybody. Give him a great big welcome to the stage. You made that look a lot easier than Pastor Joel did in the last service. For the purpose of this illustration, Will represents God. Hard to believe, says Alex, his brother. And if this is 2025, I want you to see, like visibly, I want you to like see this is that if I put God first and we're going through the months of the year, pause there. Let's say there's something going to happen in June, good or bad. Let's say it's a bad one. Let's say, I was going to say I lose my job, but like this is my job, so that would be really bad, wouldn't it? Let's not say that. I'm going to start rumors. Let's say there's something happening in June, but from January, I made a decision to put God first. And that means when we get to June, before I get to June, God is in June. And so now when I get to June, it doesn't mean that June's not happening. It just means that when it happens, like Moses said to Joshua, I can take courage. I can not be afraid because I'm not. See, if I choose to put myself first, then who gets to June first? Me, I do. And I'm confident and capable at some things. But you know what? I don't want to get to June before God does. I don't want to get to the good thing before God does, or the bad thing, or whatever. And you know, it's quite, you know, possible that in modern society with self-help and self-care and self-awareness and self-whatever, you can, you know, there's shelves filled with books about this stuff, that we can think, you know, it's right and good that we put ourselves first. But Moses is saying to Joshua, God himself goes before you. So come hell or high water, he will be with you. So don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Perhaps for you, it's not that you would put yourself first because that's selfish. Perhaps you would put someone else first, which as a noble idea is good. You know, if you want a good marriage, you would think that the best thing to do is to put your spouse first. Now, in the order of you and her, or you and him, then yes, put him or her first. But if you want a good marriage, don't put your spouse first, put God first. If you want your kids to flourish and you know, kind of walk with God, then don't put your kids first. Because your kids might want to, I don't know, play footy on a Sunday morning or not go to youth or, like, you know, whatever the priorities are. But you say, you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to put God first. Because what goes before you, listen, what goes before you also goes before your children. So we've got to think about what goes first. Thanks, Will. Taking the stairs down just to make sure everything's okay. So that's the big idea. What you put first goes before you. So I want to spend just 10 minutes trying to get a little bit practical about how we actually do that in 2025. Are we just talking about trying to think about God more? You know, to consider him or perhaps to try and hear his voice. And those things are definitely good and they do make up the fabric of what it is to put him first. But I wanted to try and get a bit practical. On your way in, or no, not on your way in, on your seat, we gave everyone a journal today. So if you're not using that, but you're using your own journal, just grab this anyway, because there's a couple of pages in the journal that I'm going to refer to as we're going through this message. So we'll come to that in a moment. Make sure you grab it. If you're in Geneva, I know that you have them already, and Sheffield will get one to you, I'm sure. Every year, I have the privilege of lecturing Audacious College. Parker is an Audacious College student. Catherine is the dean. Toba is also an Audacious College student. It's a brilliant program, and you should do it. Anyway, advert over. What I'm saying is, every year, I have the privilege of lecturing the students, and I do 12 sessions on working with people, right? Working with people, the passion of my life. I can't do a lot of things, but one of the things I love to do is to work with people like you. And so I would share some of the things that I've learned. And every year, every class, I ask the same question. And they always, no matter who's in the class, answer it pretty much the same. I say to them, okay, what is the most important thing in your life? Come up with the top three. And so they all go and they start writing in their notes. And I haven't lectured this year's students yet, so I'm giving you a sort of sneak peek, you guys that are in the class. This is what we'll be doing. And so they all write down on their piece of paper a version of this. Mostly, they would say, number one, God. That's the most important thing in my life. Okay, great. And then they say family or some kind of meaningful relationship. And then number three is normally a sort of between like maybe ministry or serving God in some capacity or maybe their job, but it's something of purpose, like the reason why they get up in the morning outside of the first two. Okay, and I go, brilliant, okay, let's do that. Then the next question, which is a question that's going to come up on screen, is how do you know when something is important? I just said to you, class, what is important, and you gave me your answer. So now I want to know how you came up with that answer. And so then they would discuss and think, and maybe you just think for a minute. How do you know when something is important or a priority in your life? And what would happen is, just like you, they would begin to think. And what we kind of realize as we're going through this exercise is that the same three-ish things come up to answer that question. And the way that they answer it normally goes like this. Here's the measure of whether something is important or a priority. Firstly, time. Okay, time. You know if something's important to you by the fact that you spend time doing it. It has space in your calendar. If you want to check what's important to you, instead of just saying it's something, check your calendar. It will probably reflect your priorities, all right? Time. The second one that they always say, that always features on there, is money. Like if you spend the resource that you have on something, then it's normally reflective of the fact that that thing is important to you. Nobody in this room would understand why me and Joel Wilson would pay £50 to go to Goodison Park and watch Everton. It doesn't make sense to you or us at the moment, but it's because that football club is important to us. Your priorities are reflected in how you spend the resource that you have. And of course, we know money is not the only resource that we have. We have gifts and abilities that are kind of like capital, if you like, that we can spend on something, give to something, sow into something, and that thing will be your priority. And the third thing that they always say is like summed up with this word, emotion. Emotion. Sometimes they say, the students say, well, we know something's important to someone if they talk about it a lot. Or they say, we know something's important to someone if they're thinking about it or maybe praying about it. It's like the inner man knows and reflects your actual priorities. And so I always say, okay, so answer to question number one was God, family, purpose. Your measure is time, money, and emotion. Did you really mean what you said for question number one? And they go, oh. Awkward. It's like I want it to be God, but by my own measure, maybe it's not. Like I want it to be my family, but actually it's not. And it's a challenging moment that I think we're all facing now, and we get a decision how we do it. So with the minutes that we have remaining, let's have a look at those three things and see if we can, in January, make some decisions that will affect our June. If we could make some decisions now that we're going to be the Joshua generation in Audacious Church in 2025, despite what happened in 2024, despite our fears or anxieties about what might come in the year ahead, we are going to do just like Joshua said famously, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a direct quote. And the reason why Moses was so confident that God was going before Joshua and that he would be with Joshua is because Joshua had a spirit that was different to those around him, him and Caleb, that was different, that said, as for me and my household, as for me and my 2025, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put God first so that June me will thank January me for making some decisions early on that meant when I get to June and everyone else is losing their head, I'm like, I'm confident, I'm courageous. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. Not because nothing bad is going to happen, but when stuff happens, I'm confident that I've been putting God first. And so he knew what was going to happen. He's not surprised, shocked, or scared. And so even if I am, all I have to do is rely on him. So let's look at these three things real quick. Number one, time. Time. The challenge with this is the difference between first and most. First and most. If you live to 86 and a half, you will live 4,500 weeks. And if we break that down and sort of look at how long we spend doing certain things, you could argue that the most important thing we do is sleep. Because 56 hours a week, if you get 8 hours a night, whatever it is, which I would recommend everybody to perhaps try doing this January, try and prioritize getting some sleep. But anyway, if you do that, that's a total in your lifetime of 1,500 weeks asleep. Sounds beautiful. At just over 1 hour a day, that's a total of 209 weeks in your lifetime just eating. Also, sounds beautiful. At 1 hour a week, which is conservative, depending on your personal habits, that's a total of 27 weeks on the toilet, ladies and gentlemen. So you can't just say, if I do it the most when it comes to time, it's the most important. We have to change our measure to not most, but first. And there is a difference. What would it look like for you to consider God first in your calendar? The fact that you're here on the first Sunday in January, despite the snow, the fact that you're watching on a screen with your family or maybe someone else from church that lives close by, the fact that you're in the room there in Geneva already reflects the fact that you have decided to put God first when it comes to your calendar. There are a million reasons. There are going to be some really good sales at B&Q this year. And they are going to be on Sundays. There's going to be some good weather at least one Sunday this year. But the Joshua generation in Audacious Church are deciding in January that come hell or high water, I will go to church every week. Now, you don't get points from me or the pastors by coming to church. We're not ticking your name off. There's too many of you. Let me just let you know, if you don't come, sometimes, and it's not because we don't love you, we don't notice. Now, if it's an extended period of time, we will notice. But I'm just saying, we're not on the door going, oh, Steve's not here today. There you go. No, none of that's going on. What we're doing is we're concentrating on putting God first, assuming that you have a deep personal commitment and conviction that you will also put God first. I challenge you to make a decision in January that you will go to church every Sunday. In central location in Manchester, we have 4 services. Come on, if at first you don't succeed, try again, and then try again. And in central on a Sunday, you can try again. 4 times you can do it. Let's be a church that go to church every week. In the middle of your journal, if you just turn to the very center page right now, you'll see 2025, a whole year, right? It's blank, but I've done it because I wanted you to do this exercise now in the moment that would represent something to you more meaningful when we leave today. I know that you're not going to keep this in your bag all year, but hopefully if you bring this to church for the next few weeks, you'll be able to establish something of a habit or a priority that actually sets up the rest of the year. We've got a couple of things happening this year. Let's just talk about our conferences for a minute. We've got some great conferences and times to encounter God in a unique way this year. We already saw in ATV that Nights of Fire is coming up. And so the dates are just going to come up on screen now. Nights of Fire, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the end of January, beginning of February. Why don't you write now in January or over that Jan-Feb sort of line, why don't you write down Nights of Fire? Why don't you scan the QR code and make sure that you book in, and if there's a party or there's a something happening, you'll be able to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm already busy that night. I'm already involved that night. I've already made it so that I'm not working in the morning, or that I can go straight from work on that Saturday, or whatever it is. Rather than life happening to you, why don't you happen to it? Why don't you say, I will be there? What else is coming up? Oh, Pastor Russell, by the way, just, you know, brilliant leader, father figure to us as a church. He'll be with us. Kids camp is coming up in May. Let me tell you, parents, what you put first not only goes before you, but it goes before your kids. And I am telling you now, as a parent of adults, right, that when you are the parent of a child, the parent of an adult you will thank the parent of a child you for the decisions that you make while they're still children. And so don't let kids camp catch you out. Oh, I didn't know it was happening. I haven't had time to save up. There it is. Put it in the box right now, 26th to the 28th of May. And as soon as you get home, transfer it from your journal into your calendar. Have a look at the budget. Think how we're going to get there. We've got 3 kids, 5 kids. It's going to cost a fortune. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make a decision in January to make sure that in May, when everyone's scratching around, scrabbling around, trying to, I don't know if I can go to kids camp, you can go, no problem. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because January me made a decision that May me is thanking me of, and 25-year-old children parent will also thank you off. I know that wasn't good English, but you know what I'm saying. I'm really good at England. What else have we got coming up this year? Luminous. Luminous Conference. We're doing 2 weekends again. Pastor Chi-Chi coming back. She was here with her husband, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, last year. And she's coming up back. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Why don't you get one of those or both of those dates in your calendar right now? After that, there are many things, but I think Fearless is on there as well. And you can get that in your calendar right now. Again, parents, let's make this a priority. You can go on your summer holiday after it, or before it. You can go straight to the airport from the last session. You can come straight from the airport to the first session. But don't be in tears 10 years from now saying, why do my children not want to go to church, if you are not making it a priority right now? Okay, a few dates for missions. We've got all sorts of mission trips this year. You know, last year we had some brilliant mission trips into Africa and different parts of the world, and there was major FOMO every time it happened. Keith would be on his way to the airport, we'd be praying for the team as they left, and I would hear so many people say this phrase, I would love to go to Africa. I would love to go on mission to South America. But the thing is, it's expensive, and you know, I've got to get the time off work. But actually, if in January you go, all right, Daniel and Emily, I will see you in July. These guys drove from Brazil this morning. Just give them a round of applause. They didn't really, I'm just kidding. Daniel, Emily, you know, live in Rio in Brazil, and we've got this mission trip happening. Wouldn't it be great if you decided now in January that by the time we get to July, even in my own like strength, I've just budgeted, saved up, paid the deposit, booked the time off work, made it happen. If you want to go on mission to Brazil, now is the time to choose, not June. You can have a God encounter in Luminous, and God might say to you, go and change the world, and you're going to have to say, well, I will in 26. But actually, if you decide now what God is calling you to do, if you decide now, I would love to go to Geneva and go and work with Tim and Frankie and go and join all our beautiful people in Geneva. Listen, this is your life to live. You gave your life to Jesus in surrender, and one of the first things he did is give it back to you and say, now I'm going to empower you to live it in a way that honors me instead of a way that is you-focused. It's me-focused, says God to you. What you put first goes before you. Time. Everybody has the same amount. There's no people in this room that are rich when it comes to time, or poor when it comes to time. We all get the same amount. Some people seem to manage it, some people seem to not. in the kindest way possible. You get 24 hours a day like anybody else. And wouldn't it be good if we decided this year, with this capital that we've been given by God? I was talking to Cuzzy on the way in this morning. She said, I was just glad that I opened my eyes this morning and God put breath in my lungs. I'm like, there you go. We got another 24 hours to live and to honor God and to breathe and to walk and serve and give and love and be all that God's called us to be. We got 24 hours starting this morning, and it's starting tomorrow again. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for that. My willpower needs replenishing. I'm really self-controlled in the morning. I eat granola for breakfast, but a kebab for supper. Because by the end of the day, my willpower, my self-control, it's a good job. God's mercies are new every morning. So I get 8 hours sleep, I get up, I'm filled up again, I'm ready to go again. I don't eat granola for breakfast, I eat bacon and egg. But anyway, the point is that we're all full of good ideas at 8 a.m., but come 11, oh gosh, where's the chocolate? Or whatever the equivalent is, and we're doing that in a macro way right now by saying, let's put God first in January. Let's make sure that for the next 3 Sundays, we're in church and we get this new series, this preaching series we're doing called Teach Me How to Pray. You're gonna actually be in church for the next 3 weeks, and you're gonna take responsibility for your prayer life. You're gonna turn up the spiritual temperature, believe God for breakthrough, and instead of always defaulting prayer to your spouse or defaulting prayer to your parents or defaulting prayer to your leader or your smart, you're gonna say, I am a person of prayer. We are not of those that shrink back, but we're full of faith. That's what I'm talking about. Put God first. If I had more time, I would spend more time, but I don't. You get the point. Number two, I've called this the soul. This is the emotions thing that we were talking about. These three things, time, soul, and resources. This is the capital that we all have. Soul, you know, the Bible, you know, we use many words to say one thing, but the Bible uses one word to say many things. And when you see the word soul in the Bible, it could probably mean a few things, but in this context, for this message, I'm talking about the inner man, the unseen part of you, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit, small s, not capital S, the Holy Spirit, but your spirit that you have that becomes alive when you become a Christian. How are you going to steward that resource, your inner man, your soul, this year? The Bible says to sow your seed in the morning and in the evening in Ecclesiastes, because you don't know what the day is going to hold. That's the PRV, it's the Paul Reed version, but that's the spirit of that verse. And I made a decision 5 years ago that I would change my Bible habits to make sure that one of the first things I do in the morning is get into the Word of God. I've got a busy life just like you have. We've all got 24 hours a day. And maybe it's not that for you. Because remember, it's not most, it's first. And I don't even necessarily mean first in the day. That was the challenge that I felt for me. But what I'm saying is by first, is before you decide how the day is going to pan out, the first thing you put in, it could be in the morning, in the evening, at lunchtime, after work. You put that in and say, I'm going to read the Word of God. Last year, in fact, for the last 5 years, I've read the Bible cover to cover in a year. It's an easy thing to do. You read about 3, sometimes 4 chapters a day. And there's multiple plans out there online that you can do. But if you scan the QR code on the back of the chair in front of you, unless you're on the front row, and then you'll have to contort yourself somehow and scan it, then it goes to our link tree, and at the top of the link tree is a link that we can all click and we can all read the Bible in a year together. Last year, there's a few hundred of us that did it, and it was awesome. Every day, I would see different people like Bunmi and Dave Sharp and others, because when you've read your chapters, you get a little chance to like make a comment, and it was so good for my faith as I'm sat eating my bacon and egg, reading the Word of God, to see, bing, Bunmi has made a comment on today's devotions, or bing, Dave Sharp has said this, and Dave normally said something really funny. But wouldn't it be great If we all said, I'm going to read the whole Bible this year, cover to cover, the bits I get, the bits I don't get, the bits I want to read with all the stories and the fun stuff in, and then the complicated stuff that I don't really understand, I'm going to read the Bible because my inner man needs to be stewarded well, and so therefore, I'm going to put God first. So do it. Get your phone out, scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, go to the link tree, and then you'll see it at the top, a Bible reading plan. What about prayer? What about prayer? There's something about getting in God's presence. For me, some of you know this, when I run, which is normally 4-5 times a week, for about 35, no, that was when I was younger, about 40 minutes it takes me to do 7 kilometers. And every time I run, I'm praying. I'm praying for my family, I'm praying for my friends, I'm praying for you. I'm saying some of your names before God, because there's an amount of things that I can control and everything else. I need God. I need God in my marriage. I need God in my relationships. I need God in my finance. And so I'm not just gonna, you know, let life happen to me. I'm gonna give my life to God daily. Like the disciples looking at bread and fish going, how the heck are we supposed to do this? I tell you what, just give it to Jesus. He'll multiply it. I don't know how he does it. It's supernatural, but it requires us handing over. Wouldn't it be good if this year you decided at least once a day, be it for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or an hour, you just said, every day I'm gonna stop, pause, I'm going to rejoice all that God's done for me. By the way, when I thank God, I thank God for 4 things. I thank God for his power to change things. I thank God for his presence where there's freedom. I thank God for his protection for me and my family. And I thank God for his provision. You know, sometimes you like trying to praise and you're like, thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit. You're like, okay, what else do I say? There's a little bit of a pro tip. Not a pro tip. I'm not a pro. There's just a bit of a prayer tip. If you want to thank God, thank him for his power to change things in your life. Thank him for his presence where you, with all your flaws and all your faults, you can find freedom in his presence. Thank him for his protection. You may be walking with a limp, but you're walking. You may have been through some stuff, but you came through it. He's protected you. You don't know what you could have walked through if it wasn't for the hand of God going, oh, not that one. Oh, don't go down that street. And thank him for his provision. Oh, well, you know, I haven't got the car that I want or the hat. Listen, you got a roof over your head. And if you don't, let us know because we can help. Well, my car, MOT's due. Listen, you got a car. You got a car that you dug out of the snow this morning while you were grumbling. There's people without a car going, I'll take yours. I'll dig it out for you. Let me have it. P. Pause. Remember this? This is from, what do you call him? Pete Gregg, when he was here at Culture Summit a couple of years ago, he taught us this. P. Pause. R. Rejoice. A, ask, and that's where we petition God. That's where you pray for your kids and you pray for your family and your friends and you pray for breakthrough and you pray for healing. Yield, or yes, that's where you just say, God, that's where you Psalm 51 it. You know what I'm saying? When David says, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a steadfast spirit. I've made some mistakes and I'm sorry. I'm actually gonna fast for the next 3 days. 3 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna believe God. I'm gonna put him first, and I want to invite anybody that wants to join me in doing that. I don't mean like in my house, won't be room for you. But what I'm saying is, if you want to, wouldn't it be great if, as a church, the Joshua generation, we said, you know what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6th, 7th, and 8th of January, right at the start of the year, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast, and it's going to be tough, and I'm going to be hungry. But every time my tummy hurts, I'm going to go, God, you're the God of breakthrough. I'm going to channel that sort of like feeling into praying fervently for you, for me, for us, for this endeavor that God has called us to. It's not the army, you don't have to. I'm not a police officer. I'm not gonna check on you. I'm just saying, I'm doing it, you do it. Do the Bible in a year, don't do the Bible in a year. But whatever happens, December you will thank January you because you decided to put God first in this unique way. We gotta finish. No idea what time it is. Oh, time to finish, believe it or not. My third point was just about the resources that God's given you, your money, your gifts, your abilities.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.